Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, have you looked at the academic center yet today? It's pretty hard to be on campus anywhere without looking at it, isn't it? Changes every day as it grows. Beginning to imagine the size and what it will look like, but as nice as it will be, it will probably not be near as impressive as the temple at Jerusalem was. That's what had the disciples all agog during the week of Jesus' crucifixion. And that's when Jesus told them that the day was coming when that magnificent building would be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. Can you imagine the academic center someday torn down? I can't either. But then some of us never thought about the cottage being torn down that day in 1965 when we stood with the choir outside and sang for the dedication, right where the new and bigger building is going today. Now Jesus knew that his end was near, but having loved his own, he loved them to the end and warned them of the destruction that lay ahead, the fearful judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem. He warned them to get out of the city while the getting was good. He warned them not to be misled by reports of false Christs. And through it all, his great love for them shined like the sun through the morning mist. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination of desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, in 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes erected a pagan idol and an altar in the temple in Jerusalem. And thereby he desecrated it so that no Israelite could worship Jehovah there. And this made the holy place desolate. Now Jesus warns of another desolation to take place. This time it would be through the armies of Rome, whose emperor claimed to be a god. His standards would again be brought over against the temple, and Jesus wanted his followers to understand what was happening. As it did happen, after the Romans laid siege to Jerusalem, and the stubborn city had begun to feel the effects of being cut off from the world, the Roman army suddenly, and for no apparent reason, withdrew. The people of Jerusalem were ecstatic. They rejoiced, thinking that they had been delivered. But Jesus' followers, who took his words seriously, used that opportunity to escape to the city of Pella, away from the destruction. And there they heard the reports. They had to hurry, for there wasn't much time. They could not pause to gather up their belongings. It must have been hard on those who could not move fast in those days. For suddenly the armies of Rome reappeared and again surrounded Jerusalem. This time, the siege was not lifted until Jerusalem was completely destroyed. When the heathen general finally entered the city and saw what the people of Jerusalem had done to each other, he was horrified. And when the news reached Pella, how the hearts of the Jewish immigrants there must have ached if some of those unbelieving Jews suffering so intensely were their relatives. For the sake of Jesus' own, those days were shortened. Sometimes our consciences surround us too, don't they? And we cannot escape. We know that we have thought, we have said, or we have done something contrary to the Lord's desires. Perhaps we've hurt someone else at the same time, and these guilts surround us and cage us in. But then suddenly, we remember that that person we hurt once did something to us. Or maybe we recall some incident in our childhood when we feel we were mistreated or misunderstood. Or it could be that, taking another look, we notice that we were under some abnormal stress at the time. Any of these things could seem to ease our distress, and we might think, that's it, the war's over. Our old Adam likes to think just the way the people of Jerusalem thought. But such relief is false and temporary. Shifting the blame to childhood experiences, or to society, or to stress, may seem good for a time, but it will not last. It will come back, and on the last day there will be no escape. Now is the time to flee to the forgiving mercy of our God. Now is the time to teach our children, to teach them that this is the way to handle guilt. Come unto Him, all who are weary and burdened, and He will give you rest. Not blaming others, not fancy excuses, not even good intentions, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only blood that will cleanse us from all sin. With Him alone is there safety and rest. Part of the reason that the people of Jerusalem were so stubborn in holding out is that they thought the Messiah was going to come, and here He had already come, and they had rejected Him. That's the kind of misunderstanding that all our excuses makes. For He has come, and He is the King who will one day say, come, you are my blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then we will joyfully serve Him in a greater center, even than the academic center. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over us. For the Lamb at the center of the throne is Jesus, and He will forever be our shepherd. Then away with fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Stanza 6.